Ren Lavoie is our NHL insider from Tavios Sports. Ren Lavoie joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Ren, before we talk about the Habs, yep. And I know you're dying to talk about the Habs, the Dennis Wiedemann suspension, were you surprised at all about the length of the suspension? I think we all thought something was coming down, but were you surprised at this length of suspension?
Well, surprise, I'll say no, because I expected it. 20 games was exactly what the officials were hoping, and they got it. But you know what? I look at the history of suspension in the NHL in a similar incident, and there's nothing over 10 games. The last time actually it happens over 10 games was in 1983, something like that, so in the early 80s. I think what the league is doing, Jeff, is just sending a message that, you know what, you don't touch the official on the ice. They want to support them. And by suspending Dennis Wiedemann for 20 games, that's exactly what they're doing. But they know. They know that, you know, it will be appealed. And it's impossible that he will be suspended for 20 games.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. He didn't skate to the linesman and you know, and trying to hit him. He didn't cross the ice to do it. I mean, he was in his way. It happens in the game. It doesn't look good. It's going to come down to 10 games. Everybody knows it. And you know what? I feel like it's a lot of, you know, a lot of games for an incident that was not, you know, it didn't look good, but come on. He went up the ice and never said to himself, there's a linesman in front of me, and I'm going to hit that guy.
Yeah, but, you know, how do we know that?
Well, how do we know that, you know, it's not the case? I mean,
because I'll tell you why. I mean, because he hit him. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
But the evidence is he hit the linesman.
Yeah.
Went to the bench, didn't go to the quiet room. So all we have is his word and the Calgary Flames' word that he was woozy. Like, I get what you're saying, and I think it's probably right. But all I'm saying is if you step back from it, there's nothing to suggest that it wasn't intentional.
But there's nothing to suggest that it was.
Yes, there is. The linesman was knocked down.
Oh, well, okay.
The incident itself, you know, and again, I'm saying you're probably right. Dennis Wiedemann's history, he doesn't strike as the type of guy who's going to go after an official. But the evidence is he ran into the official, knocked the official down. He didn't try to get out of the way. He went to the bench, continued to play.
Okay.
I mean, the evidence is you've got an official lying on the ice, a player on the bench.
Yeah.
You know, and how do you... I mean, that's the evidence in front of you. We can't know what was in Dennis Wiedemann's head, Ren. It's impossible.
Okay, but have you seen my Twitter account?
Yes.
Last night? You have Yannick Weber, same linesman.
Yep.
Okay, I know it's totally different, but he still jumped in his face.
It's a big difference, though. I mean,
the speed of play. For me, it's not as big as a difference, to be honest with you. Because I don't believe that when Dennis Wiedemann was hit, that he stand up, look at the linesman, and say, he's the next one. Yes, if there was any intent, it was 1 foot away from the linesman. But I'll be shocked to hear that Dennis Wiedemann decided to target that linesman. First of all, why? Why a linesman? A referee, maybe, because there was no penalty on the play. I could have understood a linesman that's skating from behind and hitting you from in front of you. I think he saw the linesman at the last second. There's no video of his evidence of his eyes, by the way, where he was looking, if his eyes was just open. And at the last second, he said, whoa, there's somebody in front of me. Get out of my way. That's, I think, what the league doesn't like. But to say that there was an intent to go to the linesman, for me, You need to prove it, and I don't think it's going to be easy to prove it.
See, well, I mean, look, again, we can't judge. We can't judge intent, but all we can go on, and you're right, there will be an appeal process, and it'll be halved. Then everybody, you know what, everybody will be happy. I mean, the NHL stood up for the officials, and, you know, at the end of the day, I think the most important thing is, it's one thing to sit here, Ren, and say, well, we're worried about concussions, and, you know, boy, we take it seriously, and we've got spotters. But again, you had an example, and we've all seen it in games. You know, I mean, I was told one time by a doctor, you know who you don't ask if you don't ask about whether or not a guy has a concussion or a player has a concussion is the player, because he doesn't know if he has a concussion.
And that's why I like the way the NFL is doing it.
Yes.
And that's exactly what the NHL needs to do. And at the All-Star game, all the doctors of every team in the NHL had a meeting at the All-Star game, as they usually do. And you know what? They talk about concussion for 75% of the meeting. And one of the thing that they were talking about is exactly that, Jeff. Are we giving too much, you know, are the players are the one really who decide if they go to the quiet room or not? And it's even more, and if they do decide at the end of the day that they're the one who are going to say, I'm not going, like Dennis Weinman did. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm not going in a quiet room. Okay, after that, who's responsible if there's anything that happened after? If there's a concussion, is it the player's responsible or is it the team doctor? And now there's a lot of question about, okay, but if, let's say Dennis Weinman, for any reason, in 20 years, decide to sue the NHL because, you know, the league knew or the team doctor knew that he had a concussion at that point and he stayed on the bench. Who's responsible, Dennis Weinman or the doctors or the NHL? That's a debate that they had this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a debate that's going to, and I think they have another meeting scheduled this spring about it, because you know what? It's really, really important to have a protocol who's going to work for everybody. And as of right now, I don't think it's working pretty well.
No, and the important thing is, you have to take it out of the hands of the player and out of the hands of the trainer. The trainer's paid by the team. The trainer, the last thing a trainer wants is to go to his general manager and say, well, I got some bad news for you. You've got 9 guys who can't play today. Because if that happens, you know what's going to happen to that trainer. He's going to be out in his ass very soon. So you need an impartial observer. You need someone who can say, hey, player number 60, whatever, player number 16, take him to the quiet room. And no ifs, ands, or buts. And so it's very clear. It's very easy. And I understand the NHL, pro leagues want to control everything because there are insurance risks. I get all that. But when it comes to concussions, you can't leave it in the hands of the player. You can't leave it in the hands of the coach. You can't leave it in the hands of the trainer. And you can't really leave it in the hands of the team doctor because at the end of the day, the team doctor works for the team.
It's exactly what I wanted to say. It's not only the trainer. It's the team doctor. The team doctor, the doctors are great doctors. At the end of the day, they're paid by the team. That's it. So you rest your case and I rest mine. I'm totally with you. Totally with you on this one. It needs to be people who they have, you know, not only training to call a player to a quiet room, but I really think they need to be doctors.
Yes.
And they need to have power. And when that doctor in the stands or wherever he is saying player 16, red, in the dressing room, there's nothing, you know, a team can't do anything about it. And I know in the NFL, this first year they did that. I remember a couple of players getting hit in the head, and first thing they're on the ground, and they're you know, they're looking at their ankle, and they're like, oh, I have an ankle injury, because they want to tell everybody in the stands and the NFL doctors that it's not a head injury, it's an ankle injury. The NFL all the time said, no, you're out. Mm-hmm. Even if you want to let us know that you have an ankle injury, maybe you have one, but at the end of the day, you're doozy and you're out. And that's the way it should be. That's the way I think it's going to be soon. I just don't know when. Maybe next year, but it's going to change the game because there won't be any more Dennis Weinman staying on the bench and maybe it happened in Montreal with Nathan Beaulieu, remember, being knocked out. So you have a lot of incidents right now, and you're like scratching your head, and you're like, what are those spotters are doing right now? They're not doing much, I'm telling you.
In conversation with Ren Lavoie of TVS Sports. All right, let's shift focus to the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, I might as well ask you the same question all the time. Montreal, what, they lost their fourth in a row, fifth straight at home. The Buffalo Sabres are a better team than they were last year, but there's no way the Buffalo Sabres should be scoring three goals in a period to beat the Canadiens. Where's this going, Ren? Are we at the point where the Canadiens are almost ready to say, let's just shut down Carey Price, let's get the surgery done, and, you know, let's just essentially write off the season?
Well, it's a great question. First of all, what you just said about the Sabres, and somebody said that to me last night, said, Bruno, they're losing versus the second worst team in the East. I'm like, no, the Montreal Canadiens are the worst team in the East. It doesn't matter about, look at the standings. Standings are lying right now because they have three wins in December. They have three wins in January. It's the worst team in the NHL, period. There's no other way to see it. It's the worst team right now in the NHL, period. So is it time to shut down Carey Price? That's a great question. But, you know, Carey Price is not only thinking about this year. He's thinking about something that's going to happen in September in Toronto, and that's the World Cup. I'm pretty sure if you have you ask the question to Carey Price about the World Cup, he's going to say, no, I'm not thinking about that. You're right. He's not thinking about it, but he knows that if he wants to play at the World Cup, he needs to play in the NHL this season. If he's not playing in the NHL this season, he's not playing at the World Cup, even if he's healthy.
Right.
If the Montreal Canadiens allow Carey Price to go to the World Cup after, let's say, a surgery or after being off for 7-8 months, people in Montreal will be really upset about it. And it's not about not having Carey Price not letting Carey Price going at the World Cup for Team Canada. It's really about whoa. Mm-hmm. We went through a bad season without him. We're not going through another one.
And it's not. And frankly, Ren, as much as I like the World Cup, it's not the Olympics. If it's the Olympics, maybe you can sell it a bit. But even then, you wouldn't be able to sell it, would you?
No. People, hey, it won't happen.
Right.
And I think everybody in the organization thinks exactly the same right now. There'll be a lot of people upset, not only in Montreal, but in the organization, if Carey Price is going at the World Cup. Nothing against the World Cup or Team Canada. But what the city's been through and the team's been through is unacceptable right now, and maybe it's going to cost jobs. Right now I think Michel Therrien is safe, and I think he's going to be the coach starting in September next year. But that doesn't mean that there could be more changes coming. I think the Montreal Canadiens are going to be sellers by the end of the month. I don't expect a major trade as of right now. I don't expect maybe Andrei Markov to be traded as of right now. Could change in a week. But there'll be some players that are going to be moved. All the UFAs, Dale Weiss, Tom Gilbert, those guys, maybe Thomas Fleischmann, those guys are going to be traded. And after that, it's going to be quite easy. They're going to call up some young players, and they're going to finish the season in Montreal.
What about John Scott?
No.
I was kidding. My tongue was in cheek there.
I know. But it's and by the way, it's nothing about against John Scott for the Montreal Canadiens. I think that, it's a bad situation. I think the Montreal Canadiens right now are working really hard with John Scott to make sure that, his wife's going to give birth soon to the Twins, and the Montreal Canadiens are doing everything in their control to help John Scott to make sure that, first of all, he's going to be there, and he's going to take his time after with his family, and it's not going to be an issue for the Montreal Canadiens. I think they were even upset to learn after the trade that his wife was 8 months pregnant. They didn't know that.
Yeah.
So
they'll take – the one thing we know about the Canadiens, they'll take care of John Scott.
Yeah. They will.
They take care of their own. They really do.
Yeah. And maybe he's going to be called up at the end of the season to play one last game. Maybe it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not the GM. I'm not the one who's going to decide. But John Scott's not going to be part of the solution here, okay?
Right.
He's not going to be called up. I've heard some fans last night on radio saying, you need to call John Scott and put him on the power play. What?
Can he play goal?
Really? Maybe.
I mean, that's all the season needs is John Scott and goal. Ren,
why not?
Thank you so much for doing this, as always.
Thanks for making me laugh.
Okay, take care.